This is Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Catalin Campano. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. We're going to start today's show with the sad news that the cybersecurity industry lost a seminal figure over the weekend with the death of Peter Eckersley, a beloved security software engineer and privacy activist who played a crucial role in many of today's web encryption technologies. Born and educated in Australia, Mr. Eckersley spent 12 years working for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where he helped co-found and co-create many of today's most notable privacy-inclined projects, including the likes of Let's Encrypt, Certbot, HTTPS Everywhere, and Privacy Badger. After leaving the EFF, Mr. Eckersley joined the Partnership in AI and then co-founded the AI Objectives Institute, two nonprofits that advocated for the responsible use of AI by governments and tech firms, seeing it as a future threat to ordinary people, similarly on how he foresaw the need for privacy and encryption on the World Wide Web. Mr. Eckersley died on Friday night due to pre-op complications following a cancer diagnosis just days before. He was only 43. May he rest in peace. Moving on to data breach news, we had two major hacks disclosed on Friday, just ahead of the extended Labor Day weekend in the US. The first came from Samsung, which said it was hacked in late July. The company said it took them a few days to discover they were hacked, but after what appears to be a four-week investigation, they were able to determine that no sensitive information like financial data and social security numbers were taken in the intrusion. In a short message posted on its website on Friday, and in emails sent to affected customers, Samsung said the hackers appear to have stolen only names, dates of birth, and contact and demographic information. Samsung didn't say how many users were impacted. The second major breach disclosed on Friday came from the US Internal Revenue Service, which said it accidentally leaked confidential information for 120,000 taxpayers who filed a 990T form in the past. According to a data breach notification obtained by the Wall Street Journal, the breach occurred due to a website error after an XML file containing the affected taxpayers' data was left freely accessible via the IRS official website. There were also two cryptocurrency heists disclosed over the weekend as well. The first took place at DeFi platform Kyber Networks, which said last week that it was hacked for $265,000 after a threat actor exploited a vulnerability in its front end and went after whale wallets, which are accounts with large deposits. The second crypto heist took place at privacy coin ShadowFi, which said it lost $300,000 last week as well. This time, the attackers used an exploit in the company's smart contract, which ShadowFi said it previously passed not one but two security audits. Also in data breach news, Desordon, a hack and leak extortion group that operates in Southeast Asia, also leaked a new massive data set last week containing information from hundreds of Indonesian and Malaysian restaurants. According to databreaches.net, which analyzed the leak, more than 400,000 customer records and more than 16,000 employee records were leaked in the dataset. Also on Friday, and in a surprise to many security analysts, the original leak site of the now defunct Revel Gang was updated out of the blue to claim another new victim. The new victim is Chinese electrical appliance manufacturer Midea Group, the world's largest appliance vendor and one of the world's largest companies. As of this podcast, Midea officials have not yet confirmed the incident. Moving now to tech-related news, we also had a major development from the Tor project last week with the release of RT 1.0, the first production-ready release of the Tor protocol rewritten in the Rust programming language. Also in tech news, after an absurd amount of lobbying and public criticism, internet infrastructure company Cloudflare finally decided to drop harassment forum KiwiFarms from its network. Shortly after leaving Cloudflare, KiwiFarms relocated to the network of Russian CDN service DDoS Guard, from where it was also dropped within a day. But last week, we also saw a series of embarrassing failures from antivirus makers. The first happened in South Korea, where Est Security's Aliak antivirus product caused havoc among its users when it crashed their systems after identifying the Windows operating system as ransomware. The issue was traced back to a bad malware detection rule, and the company said the rule only shipped to its free product and not its corporate commercial version. This botched detection rule was followed by another one, but this time from Microsoft Defender, who started detecting the Google Chrome browser as a version of the Hive ransomware on Sunday. Both events were detected and fixed within hours, but not before, causing some serious panic. Not that much happened in the government and policy sector over the past few days, except the news that the governments of Romania and Ukraine signed a memorandum on cooperation in the field of cybersecurity defense. The treaty between the two countries is identical to the one Ukraine signed with Poland a week before. Meanwhile, in cybercrime news, South Korean authorities sentenced a 20-year-old man to 4 years in prison for hacking internet-connected security cameras and then recording more than 7,000 videos of women in their homes, including while naked and while having sexual intercourse. The hacks took place between May 2021 and February 2022, and the suspect's activities were discovered after he started selling some of the videos online. In threat intelligence news, the research team at ReSecurity published a report last Friday on Evil Proxy, also known as Moloch, a new phishing as a service advertised in cybercrime underground forums. According to ReSecurity, Evil Proxy is part of a new wave of phishing services that uses an attacker-in-the-middle model of reverse proxies and cookie injection capabilities to bypass multi-factor authentication protections on online accounts. The service comes with built-in capabilities to phish accounts at all major email and social media providers, but also developer services like GitHub, PyPI, NPM, and RubyGems. In addition, we have some news on Raspberry Robin, a Windows worm that spreads via infected USB devices that has been making waves over the past few months, infecting a large number of Windows corporate systems. According to a series of tweets from Deutsche Telekom's security team, several of these infections have been traced back to users who use their USB thumb drives at print copy stores. Users who visit these kinds of stores should inspect their devices for new shortcut files added to their thumb drives, which will most likely trigger the installation of the Raspberry Robin malware if opened by accident. Now, in malware-related news, India-based security company CloudSec published a report on Friday on Redeemer, a new ransomware strain advertised on cybercrime forums like Dread and Breached by a threat actor named Cerebrate. One of this ransomware's standout features is the fact that it requires payments to be made in Monero instead of Bitcoin. Similarly, security firm SafeBridge took a deep dive into CodeRat, a new remote access Trojan that was open sourced on GitHub after the company identified and confronted the malware's creator. An interesting feature of this new malware is that instead of using a classic web server as its command and control infrastructure, CodeRat uses the API of a public anonymous file upload service as its C2 and exfiltration mechanism. Moving on to vulnerability news, researchers from security company FortBridge said they found a cross-site request forgery vulnerability in CSERF, an NPM library designed to protect applications against CCRF attacks. Since the project had not been maintained for almost 2 years, as a result of this bug report, the library's authors decided to retire the CSERF project. And last but not least, Google released an emergency security update for the Chrome web browser on late Friday to address an actively exploited zero-day vulnerability. The vulnerability is tracked as CVE-2022-3075. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by application allow listing software maker Alloc Digital. You can find links to all the reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.